Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. It's Fightful. It is December 28th, 2022. Our last AEW review of the year. The last AEW of an era, as they're saying. They're saying a new era of AEW Dynamite is ushered in next week. Tony Khan spoke with Will Washington, Righteous Reg, and Phil Lindsay of Grapsody right here on Fightful, and it aired Monday. And he talked about those set changes just right out of the gate. I want to tell you guys, make sure you check out that interview. I don't know if Tony's done a longer interview than that. 90 minutes long with Will, Reg, and Phil. We're going to talk about Dynamite tonight. Leave your thumbs ups. Leave your super chats, your humper chats over at humperchats.com. But, Alex, this was a big interview for us at Fightful, and of course Grapsody as well. That is an awful lot of time to get with Tony Khan, and
yes, it is.
There were a lot of things covered. Paige Van Zandt, Jonathan Gresham, Cody Rhodes. I don't know if he's talked at length about Cody Rhodes that long.
Yeah.
A bit of a surprise there. I mean, of course, there were some things that he couldn't talk about.
Of course, I guess it pays to be the dirt sheet cousin of one of the top guys at the company.
I guess it's not all bad, huh?
I mean, yeah, you know, you get name dropped, you get checked in a rap, but also you get to secure an interview with the top guy. I frankly, like, big ups to Grapsody. That's an amazing get, and I thought they nailed it. But the interview had as much information as you could possibly expect a guy like that to divulge. That's quite a coup for us. And I'm, you know, again, always, as always, happy to have been the guy that you hired to write reviews of Main Event when the site first started. And look at us now. Look at little Fightful now.
Look at us now. We also have interviews with Nyla Rose that dropped this week on youtube.com/Fightful and Fightful.com. This Friday, we got Will Ospreay, but right now on FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the business, in addition to 6-7 shows a week. I mean, Alex has post-pay-per-view shows. You also have Rob Wilkins doing preview shows right before, but we've got news on Will Ospreay's contract, where he's leaning, when that's up. Tons of stuff over there. We had some news on what looked like might be a title change tonight. Looks like maybe down the line, especially as that was defined by to me as closer to maybe Revolution this evening. But what we got was, I thought, one of the best in-ring dynamites that we've ever had with a white hot crowd in Denver, Alex.
Immediately.
This was great.
Yeah. They started out really hot. You could tell also, it's just one of those things of like, this is the first Denver show from AEW. Yeah. We haven't done one of these before. Like it feels like they haven't done, let's say this, they haven't done it as often as they've done Chicago. So I feel like the crowd that gets only a couple of chances to see this shows up like ready to explode. Seattle's going to be the same next week. All this West Coast swing is going to be a major deal. I think you're going to see the crowds being white hot for a lot of that stuff. That's great. I love to be able to see these AEW fans getting to see stuff in their hometown. I think that's great.
Before we get into the review, guys, cheap plug for those of you who are Bengals fans. I do have a bit of a Bengals vanity project. It is on Twitter at @CommonBenglsW. I'll go ahead and throw the little banner right there. Look at that. Check out CommonBenglsW on Twitter. Also youtube.com/@CommonBenglsW. I did a 30-minute live stream tonight. I will not be transitioning into the football coverage world because I refuse to take the one thing that I actually enjoy in life outside of work and do that. But I like talking wrestling. So by God, we're going to talk wrestling. We're going to talk some football. We're going to talk a little bit of everything. But over there, it's football. Over here, it's wrestling. We're doing the damn thing. Check it out. Common Bengals W on Twitter. So Lucha Blog has just reported that Dragon Lee signing with WWE. That would be big. I had somebody hit me up today, and I should have known because he's connected to Mexican wrestling. He's got good connections there. And he's like, hey, have you heard of a potential signing today? And I said, no, I haven't. Should I? And things went silent. Just silent. So that one definitely qualifies as the hype that person kind of put forth to me. But let's go ahead and talk about AEW Dynamite. Big thank you to Luis, our moderator. But get your super chats in here at youtube.com/Fightful. And we've got Karl Marx saying, good Dynamite tonight. The revolution lives on. Well, we've also got Detrain saying, thanks for keeping us informed. Look forward to more in 2023. Me too, by God. We got our awards done. We're about to do those. Listen, guys, the people are saying he just won the tag titles. Hey, you boys at Fightful Select reported that FTR were losing those tag titles. Hate to say it. Mm-hmm. It happened.
It did.
But we'll get to that as we get more details, guys. Bryan Danielson defeated Ethan Page. What a freaking humper this was.
This was so good.
Kick off the show. Holy cow, Alex.
Yeah. It's everything I wanted it to be. Like, it's as I said, like, I said last week, Ethan Page is that, A, that caliber, B, that perfect size of guy to go up against Bryan Danielson, because he always had those banger matches with Orton and stuff, like just the 6'5", 250-ish, strong, fast enough to keep up with him, but strong enough to toss him around a little bit. There's that kind of sweet spot I think Danielson works really well with. He works well with everybody, but that kind of a match has been something I've been looking forward to, and I think Ethan Page is just he's just fantastic. Like, he's the absolute total package, and he's only going to get better. And I loved a lot of stuff in this thing. But I will continue to say, one of my favorite things that AEW maybe leans on, but I don't think too heavily, is passing out in the hold as opposed to tapping out. I think that a guy, like, not visually giving up, but still losing the match, the other guy gets the victory, but that guy doesn't get hurt as much by it. And I think that's a thing that they can do. And I feel like in a fight, that would happen. as opposed to, oh, we always got to get the little, you know, little tap there to take everything. I think that that was a great spot, but this, both guys, they kicked the crap out of each other.
I want to see an even madder Ethan Page after this, because he didn't give up. He didn't give up. And Ethan Page needs to be even more livid. I love how he can take a simple move like a power slam, add a short arm into it, do it from the second rope, any number of things, and make it even more impactful. And that's the thing. Ethan Page is one of the more versatile performers in AEW, because he can work a big man style, he can work in between, or he can work a cruiserweight style. Like, he can do a little bit of everything, and that's what he did here. And not only that, they beat the brakes off of each other. Yeah, and man, that was it was the type of performance that I think that he needed. He needed against a wrestler of this caliber, show that he's right there, to show that he belongs in that main event picture. And I think that he did that. I think that he did an outstanding job in this match. What did you think of Stokely's trucker hat?
I think Stokely can do no wrong. You know me. I love a trucker hat. Sure, why not? As I'll say about it, why not? I'm sure he's got a fantastic backstage thing he did for a vlog where he explains the provenance of said hat. How he found it on the side of the road or stole it off of a trucker at a truck stop, but I'm looking for it.
Oh, I loved this. I thought that this was the right type of match to kick off Dynamite. And, I mean, kicked off one of what I think is one of the best episodes of Dynamite from an in-ring perspective that I had ever seen. And, I mean, it only went up from there for that, like, first 75 minutes especially. And Danielson is, I think, the right person to lead into one of MJF's first big feuds as champion. Yeah. MJF was up in the rafters with a woman that he said was the only hot woman in Denver. And what I loved is that also Ethan Page was not happy about it either.
No. They're leaning too heavily into it. I'm telling you, they're making a big show of how much Ethan Page does not like fellow heel, but a different heel, MJF. Oh, you, every time you show up, I have to wag my finger at you, sir. I wag my finger at you. Get out of here, sir. They're still in cahoots. I believe it. I believe they're still in cahoots.
Jam Beard says, I wonder what Max's future wife thinks about having indie star Daddy Doom hanging off of Mox. I mean, I'm pretty sure she knows it's business. Yeah. At this point, she's pretty good at talking trash herself. I'll admit that. Like, I think she's pretty good. Tim Gordon says, Goldberg arrest spot with MJF and Brian. Man, he's been arrested so many different times on TV that I can't even remember. Can't even remember which one you're specifically talking about. But we've also got Meet Normus saying, glad you're feeling better, SRS. Alex, have you found the lender? Opener was better than I was expecting. Thought the woman with MJF was Shotzi for a hot second. Can confirm, not Shotzi. It is Daddy Doom. No, but
Daddy Doom.
Yep. I know that MJF basically saw her and was like, money, let's rock with this. Mm-hmm. Let's do this. And ended up working out pretty well, I think. But that, honestly, probably better than a dark spot or a rampage spot or whatever as well. Because, I mean, that's on there with the top star. And I mean, hey, look, a lot of extra spots ended up working out pretty well for a woman named Chelsea Green. She got in front of the right people and got on Tough Enough and mm-hmm. Impact and all kinds of stuff doing that. But mm-hmm. I thought that added an awful lot to the match. The fact that Ethan Page took advantage of that distraction from MJF, but was like, no, I don't like you either. I thought that was
it's good. Really good stuff. I loved all of it. By the way, Meet Normus. I have not found the Linda. Her glasses still missing, but we'll find them eventually. They can only be so many places, so don't worry about it, Meet Normus. You should be fine.
We are going to have more on the Dragon Lee signing, probably tomorrow morning. So FightfulSelect.com getting news coming in fast and furious. Getting a lot of additional details there. Johnny Hirschman says great times coming up. Going to the LA show, which could be best of seven, Mox versus Hanger, maybe Sasha, even my Chargers are in the playoffs, LFG. I think, like, it wouldn't shock me if they ended up doing Mox and Hangman, if not on that specific Dynamite. maybe on that Rampage. Today I said maybe next week's Rampage, but now since they've kind of telegraphed it, I think maybe even like, because a lot of that program has been on Rampage. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't doubt that they would do that as well, but that remains to be seen. Ryan Martin says, I know this is not Dynamite related, but I wanted to bring this to your attention. Apparently Dragon Lee has just announced he's signing with WWE after he and Dralistico beat FTR. Mm-hmm. We have been informed of that, but thank you so much for the super chat. Yeah. And I want to thank everybody for their super chats today on the What Do You Guys Want to Talk About podcast. Tons and tons of super chats, Humper Chats, on that show that is completely driven by that. Make sure you check it out. And if you still want to get in a Q&A question, I do a Q&A every week on FightfulSelect.com. Jambeard says, any news on Santana? Oh, yeah, he's still out for months. The ACL tear, usually about a year. We have the Hangman segment backstage, and the doctor is telling him, like, listen, you're going to keep setting yourself back if you start going wild about this. Also, it's got to be awkward for him to have this conversation with Renee while she's like, so
of course you would want to know how I'm doing.
Yes.
He's just, at one point I thought he was going to take a swing at her. Like, it was just like, okay,
I love it.
Okay, Hangman. All right. Okay.
Like, chill out, buddy. She's just doing a job here. but he's told, well, maybe in a couple weeks, maybe you'll feel better unless you set yourself back.
Yeah.
And yeah, sure. I like
January 11th. He's like, oh, so the LA show. Like, hey, no guarantees, but you gotta lay low to make sure there's no reoccurrences. But they're jam packing this January 11th show. They know what they're doing, and I would not be surprised to see it happen. Paige and Moxley at that particular event. But I don't think anything will be settled, and so they'll have to do it again at Revolution, kind of a thing.
For everybody saying ESPN confirmed Dragon Lee signed. Dragon Lee confirmed Dragon Lee signed. Like, yep. He confirmed it. Love of God, guys. Brian Mahoney, I don't know if he's of any relation to Balls, says, I feel like the state of Colorado is one of the most disrespected places in pro wrestling history. It's asinine. They can't get a big pay-per-view event. I completely agree. And especially with as white hot as this crowd is, like, it's got to be on the short list moving forward.
I mean, if you're going to keep doing these open air SummerSlam stadium events, like Mile High would be a really cool place in the middle of the country. It's centralized, all that kind of stuff. I mean, summertime, Colorado, beautiful.
Yes. Mox and Claudio against Top Flight. Boy, Top Flight has had a couple of weeks, man. Darius is getting like almost Trent Beretta 2017, 2018 level. He's going to kick out of everything. And like, if that's his gimmick, cool. if that's his gimmick that he's made of elastic, cool. I'm okay with that. This is an outstanding showing, to the point to where like both of these guys looked at Darius and Dante and were like, what the hell do we have to do? And for them, it's not the incredulous, What? You mean the move that never finishes anybody? Didn't finish anybody? No, it was the neutralizer.
Yeah.
He's finished hundreds of wrestlers with that. I loved this match. This was phenomenal. This was a great way to help further establish Top Flight. Unreal. Darius isn't missing a beat.
Yeah. Darius is great. Kicking a neutralizer, you're right, Claudio, with the, well, that's odd. Like, that never happens. Nobody kicks out of that. And here's the thing. Like, Darius Martin missed a lot of time with a knee injury, I believe, and then he was in a car accident. Claudio wants to put him back on the shelf by decapitating him, because that uppercut he threw that finished him, that was the stiffest thing I've ever seen. I mean, wow. That was excellent. So much of this match was just so great. Everybody, Top Flight, so good. They're like one of those teams that, like, you know, it's so hard to do because you want to think, okay, the injury bug will stop biting Darius Martin after a while. And then when you get a full, real great run of Top Flight, like, put the titles on them for a while. Let's at least have them have a really great program with the champs for a bit. Like, it's, it was great, man. I'm very pleased to see these guys wrestling together again. So much of their double team stuff is excellent. But yeah, man, Mox and Claudio decided to take these boys out back behind the woodshed by the end of the match. They're like, all right, good, you survived. That's a point to you.
I thought this ruled. This is the type of display that you want in a loss. Darius has now lost two matches in this program and has come out even better, even better. Jambeard says, going back to the Brian Ego match, I love that Brian won with the Regal stretch. Such a nice touch. I completely agree, and I love that Ethan Page passed out as well.
Yeah.
Orion Ben says, Darius versus Mox, the rivalry I never knew I needed. Hey, sometimes you give people the opportunity, and they just they knock it out of the park, and that's what he did.
It's true.
Adam Weller says, Top friggin' Flight. The brothers Martin are stars. BCC really helped them have a spotlight moment. Hope their run of misfortune has passed. Me too, man. Because they are very clearly like a team that can do things that nobody else can do. And that's what you need. You need acts that can do things that nobody else can do. And that's what they did. Kip Sabian challenges Orange Cassidy for the title, but Cassidy will defend it against Trent.
I love that. Like, I eliminate it. But by that transitive property that you are espousing, I eliminated you. So I should get a shot. Not thinking that he was actually going to get a shot, but Orange Cassidy's like, yeah, he's got a point. He's got a shot before you. And Trent looking at Orange Cassidy like, really? I'm going to punch you in the face on Friday. Great. Excellent. Thanks for letting me know, Orange. Like, this is going to be some fun stuff. I think that there's going to be some, it's going to be a great match, but it'll be interesting to see how Chucky T lets him, helps him hug it out at the end of the whole thing.
You know, everybody but Kip Sabian's getting an All-Atlantic title shot. So
yeah,
maybe he needs to change his identity. Maybe he needs to show up anonymously. He can do it with NordVPN.com/Fightful. He can browse safely and anonymously. He can challenge with a virtual location changed IP, thanks to NordVPN.com/Fightful, the fastest VPN in the world. Kip Sabian needs one of these, whether he's in the UK or the US. It allows you to get access to more content. Hey, those UFC pay-per-view prices just increased again, 80 bones each. Man, NordVPN.com/Fightful. You subscribe to them, you're going to get 4 additional months free, a 30-day money-back guarantee, and you're going to end up saving money. You buy one UFC pay-per-view, you're going to end up making your money back on NordVPN.com/Fightful. I pay about one-fifth of what the current UFC pay-per-view price is by using NordVPN.com/Fightful. Today, I complained about the terrible search functionality of Peacock. Well, guess what? I've got WWE Network, thanks to the NordVPN.com/Fightful. Deal that we have for you. Also, block online trackers, annoying pop-up ads, and malware. You don't want malware. You don't want that at all. Works on all your devices. One subscription, NordVPN.com/Fightful. Love it when people hit me up and they tell me how they're saving with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Avoid price discrimination too. I mean, I know that the airline stuff is a mess right now, but they're probably going to try to make that money back. You know, they're going to try to make their money back and they're going to jack up flight costs. So avoid price discrimination by using NordVPN.com/Fightful. Justice Gillum says, how do you think FTR is feeling about dropping the belts to a guy who's leaving? Or do you think they knew prior? I think they've known for quite a long time. They were dropping those AAA titles. They couldn't hold them forever. No. I mean, I would hope they would at least have known as of a week ago, because I sure did. So I'm hoping that at least Dax and Cash knew. Dax, who's getting great reviews for his new podcast. Shout out to Matt Kuhn, great host of that show. But I'm sure it's business. And once, especially once they lost the AEW title match, now it's a story, Alex. AEW, ROH, AAA, IWGPs are next.
Yeah, they're losing those in January. So that now becomes, okay, so how do they return to their former glory, you know? I think it'll be great. I think what I love about FTR / The Revival is it was never about championships for them. It was about making tag team wrestling the best it could possibly be, and having a hand in that in any way possible. So I think that they know the story they're telling. It's going to be great.
PhD said, did you see AAA spoilers? FTR lost the tag titles to Dragon Lee and Jurassic. Love FTR. Wondering what them dropping all their titles means to their future. Thoughts? Well, I did offer my thoughts today on the What Do You Guys Want to Talk About podcast, but I think that they want us to think that they're leaving. Dax is a super worker. Think about the people he hangs out with.
Yeah.
CM Punk. He was in a stable with MJF. MJF, who is actively, whether or not he's signed or not, is actively telling his loved ones and people that he works with that he hasn't re-signed. Right. So my God, man, like I think that they want you to think that. I don't think it's an accident that he said during our interview that he might just take time off and just, you know, do something besides what is it, national or...
Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Global wrestling, so I think it's very intentional. Hook destroyed some poor soul.
that guy, what was his name? Like Bossum Links?
Balaam
that dude
Links.
Got more. Yeah, man, he got destroyed.
Balaam Links, he sure did. But the story is what happened after the match, and that is Big Bill and Lee Moriarty and Stokely coming out. I love Lee Moriarty's shirt, but he got his ass whipped by Jack Perry. And everything about this, I enjoyed. Alex, they were teasing exactly what you said last week. I'm giving you your flowers. He said the reaction when Hook judo throws Big Bill is going to be insane. Yeah. And they teased it. But not before this incredible visual of Big Bill standing as tall as he possibly could, and Hook not fearing him. Meanwhile, Jack Perry, so immediately post ass whooping on somebody that he was still in the mount, looks up like, oh shit, what's gonna happen? Yeah. I thought everybody killed it here. Everybody did.
Everybody killed it. That, like, go for the choke slam, and then the, like, judo, like, friggin' Harry Houdini sleight of hands, get your hand off my throat, dive in under, in perfect position for the T-bone suplex. Like, he did that in the blink of an eye. Like, this is the thing about Hook that I love so much, is that it really feels like you're watching a ninja. Like, he's just in there doing stuff so fast. And that moment, the crowd came unglued at the prospect of him maybe suplexing Big Bill. When he finally does it, it's going to be just, it's going to be so great. I can't wait.
I'm going to shout out, let's see. It is Lenny Hem _ on Twitter who brought this to my attention. And this is plenty interesting to me.
Okay.
Let me pull up this overlay. I can't do it justice.
Okay.
Let me find it first off. My God, where the heck is it? But yeah, this is pretty interesting. On the Pro Wrestling Podcast's Instagram, they posted a headline of Dax Harwood saying, makes plea for the Elite, Punk to find a way to make it work. And the person who runs the account says, let's just shake hands and say sorry, LOL. But he says, but seriously, well, a certain somebody by the name of CM Punk commented on that and said, duh. I find that interesting. It's about as much as he said publicly about that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you make of this?
Listen, here's the deal. If they can get beyond this and work together, is there an absolute metric shit ton of money to be made with
unreal
this
amount? Yeah.
Like, I mean, like absolutely, but it requires both parties to sit down and be cool about it. At least being like, I hate your guts, but I am willing to make the most money this company has ever seen.
Yep.
Alongside you, because we're gonna get a big chunk of that. Now, is it going to come down to, oh, but I get 60-40 and like, or some kind of, yes, ridiculous, like, dick measuring kind of like who gets to be billed at the top or whatever? It's the CM Punk versus the Elite feud. No, it's the Elite versus the CM Punk feud, whatever. Figure it out, guys, because there's way too much good storytelling and good matches to be had. And again, so much money out there. Especially if, like, because you know that FTR will be willing to back up CM Punk in a 3-on-3 feud, and holy God, would that be something everyone would want to see? So I think that Phil is out there going, duh, of course it would make a lot of money. The problem is everything else around it. So we'll see. We'll see.
And I mean, like, I get it. There were an awful lot of people that, because of Dax's comments, were like, ah, see, CM Punk was great backstage. And I'm like, listen, for some people, of course, yeah, he was.
Sure.
For other people, they didn't see it that way.
No.
Buying Starbucks gift cards does not mean that everything's always fine. But yeah. I have had a lot of very respected people that are like, man, nothing is worth more than the money you would make.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Damn. That's an interesting one. I'm ready to see how this unfolds. FightfulSelect.com. Just go ahead and start up your subscriptions now.
Yeah. Get ahead of the game. You don't want to have to play catch up.
Jambeard says Hacksaw Jack Perry. Ho. And Orion Ben says Alex Stradamus called the Big Bill honk spot again.
True.
Honk. Sawyer says, are we getting a feud based around Hook trying to suplex Big Bill? Because by God, when he finally hits it. Yes, that's a great idea.
Let's do it, man. I mean, the size difference is so great because it looks like David walking up to Goliath. And the thing of it is, David ain't scared at all. And it's good. I can't wait for it, man.
Oh, get in your super chats, get in your humper chats, guys. We would greatly appreciate that. A reminder, if you want more interaction, we got the Fightful Select Q&A every week, and every other week, Grapsody does one as well. Mm-hmm. Check it out, my friends. The Mogul Affiliates interview, interrupted by Wheeler Yuta. One of my friends said, I swear to God, Wheeler Yuta is just parked with a lawn chair and a 40 next to the interview set every week. Like, here we go. It's my time. That's got to be a BTE segment. Just him.
Yep. Just
because he hangs out with Brian, yep, Claudio, yeah, and Mox, he is, yeah, such a get off my lawn old man now. He's so mowing his lawn in his high socks.
Yeah.
Jesus, yeah, Christ. Also, this, yeah, match is gonna hump, and oh, Swerve is so good at this.
He is. And I love you to just walking up by himself and being like, you're disrespectful, and I don't like you at all. And I also don't like your two stooges. Like, I love the, like, it's just the interview where it's like, we don't even know who these guys are, and Parker Poudreau holds up a necklace that says Parker, and he like holds it up to the camera, like, this is my name, I am Parker. And then it says, hey, and Swerve says, you know Parker Boudreau, and this guy, who, boy, this guy, you'll find out about him soon, aka we haven't decided what we're gonna call him yet, but it definitely ain't Grant Gershow or whatever his actual name is.
Yeah, so FightfulSelect.com broke the news of a guy's identity last week, and they were, yes, protecting it. I know that people close to the situation said, who is that, to people who would know? And they go, exactly. And like, mm-hmm, that was the thing. They wanted to keep it as close, right, to the vest. It is Grandon Goetzman. He is a 30-year-old former second round draft pick by the Tampa Bay Rays, which is a very, very high draft pick.
Yes,
I can't underscore how high and good of a draft
there
pick
are
that
like
is.
48 rounds in the baseball draft. Yes. Like, that's a high draft pick.
And let me tell you, he did not look like this when he was playing pro ball 2 years ago. I posted some video of him yakking some home runs, but he was more of a speed guy. He played legitimately pro ball up until last year when he kind of fell off in Mexico. But he was in the Rays system, the Astros system, as recently as 2019. He's been training. He's been under a deal for a while, but FightfulSelect.com had those details last week. Best $5 in the business. Mm-hmm. But, my God. Outside of the Swerve cinder block thing, that angle last week wasn't it. This worked a little bit better, but...
Well, listen, you just all you would have to do is like come out and have somebody say, oh, by the way, on Friday, you get to watch Wheeler Yuta versus Swerve. And I'm like, that would be, as Swerve said, say less, because that's exactly as much as I need to know to watch that match.
Man, I'm getting all kinds of reactions. I just posted that screenshot of, mm-hmm, the punk thing.
Yeah.
So. Can't wait to see how it unfolds. I hope. Yeah. Listen, selfishly, sometimes I don't care if people have to deal with assholes at work. I want to see good TV. Sometimes I do.
Yep.
Don't want anybody's dog getting kicked in the face. That's for sure.
No, not that. Or biting is always bad.
Here's a good point. Broadway Joe says, Punk want the elite to apologize to him? That's a good point.
I mean... He probably does, like, of everything we've heard about it.
He probably does. He wants Colt Hangman and the Elite to all apologize to him. Mm-hmm. Like, sorry you bit me. I forgive you. Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Adam Willer says, I haven't loved Elite Death Triangle, but tonight humped. Well, I don't know who could watch this and say it didn't hump. Match 6 Elite Death Triangle started backstage. Oh, and boy, did it hump. Now, I want to shout out Elijah Burke, the Pope, D'Angelo De Niro, who had the best kayfabe explanation for why wrestlers wear street clothes in matches mm-hmm. like this. And he, I always bring it up when I see it. He was like, well, usually it's the people who have very expensive gear that do that, because you're almost certainly going to get it torn on something mm-hmm. because a pro wrestling ring is designed, or your gear is designed to be used in a pro wrestling ring. So it's conducive to those surfaces. So I loved this. And this match was complete humpage. Meet Normus yeah. says it continues to hump. No promo code needed. I'll get the hose, maybe a kiddie pool for match 7. Jeez Louise, it's going to be fun with ladders. Just we don't see a lot of falls count anywhere aspects in AEW. And this brought me back to, I think it was the first episode of Dynamite when Omega and Mox, I think it was, went through the glass table and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. That is one of the moments that gave me the Nitro type of, oh, anything can happen on this show, and that's why I should tune in type of thing. And they absolutely killed it here. I'm trying to think of individual spots. I'm going to call out to the chat to tell me their favorite spots. But, Alex, this was amazing. The near falls in this on the outside were really great.
The chained Northern Lights suplexes all the way down the ramp got me. Like, I was like, that's really clever. Then he does it to two guys at once. That was great. Phoenix off the tunnel, up on the stage. I mean, the finish, which was a one-winged angel off the top through a table. And then the added drama of Pac's got one of the Jacksons, I forget which one, in the Brutalizer, Matt Jackson, in the Brutalizer, and he's holding him in there, and is he going to tap before Kenny gets the pinfall on Phoenix? And Kenny does, and then Matt taps, and then Pac is livid because he doesn't realize that the weak link in their trio, according to him probably, got pinned, costing them the titles, possibly a next week. There's really, really good stuff with that finish. I thought this whole match humped, major humpage.
It was absolute, just violent humpage is what this was. It was insane. The V-trigger to the trash can, Phoenix through the table, one-winged angel through the table. It just the German on the stage. Like, there's so many spots on this that were just incredible. And now Matt Jackson gets to sell his lower back for another 3.5 years. Give me that. We're back in the golden era of wrestling, baby. We are back. Buddy, I did a show with Vince Russo, and Vince was like, you can't ever say those guys can't sell. He's like, Matt Jackson's been selling the same injury for half a decade. I was like, even that fucking guy can't deny it. Pardon my French. Even he couldn't deny it.
Yeah.
Unreal, man. This match was unreal. Black Gold says, please tell me Kenny didn't pull an X-Pac and break his asshole. Man.
That he was selling that very specifically when he did that move. It made me very worried. But then the fact that he was being helped out by Michael Nakazawa and not a trainer made me go, okay, that's all work. Good.
Eloquent says the V-Trigger to Phoenix on the stage. Man, this is a match. Yeah, I'm gonna be watching this match again this week. I rarely do that.
Yeah.
Jambeard says the V trigger taking off Phoenix's head was great, and Kenny broke his butt on the OWA. Richie says, my girlfriend at the start of the Elite match says, come on, guys, we didn't learn anything from your suspension. Don't fight backstage. It would have been great if they kicked a door down. Yeah. That would have been really funny.
To start the match, they kick a door down would yes. be really great.
That would have been phenomenal. Lucas says they're building a great LA Dynamite. Feels special. What are the chances they have LeBron in the arena that night because of Game 7? And to promote the corny-looking house party movie, if not maybe. LeBron, a tie-in with the NBA TNT crew. I'm going to look up like the Lakers' schedule and see yeah. like what they're doing
yeah.
that week. Let's see. Okay. Monday night, Lakers Nuggets in Denver, January 9th. No game Tuesday. No game Wednesday. They're in LA Thursday.
Perfect.
And honestly, I don't think House Party looks corny. I think it looks great. Gata is in it from Dave. And I love Gata. He's incredible. And the hologram of him saying positive things about himself and him going, you handled the decision to go to Miami perfectly. Yeah. That popped me. That was good stuff. I don't care. I loved it. But that would be very, very good. Ian Hunter says, think Pat could interfere in the Kenny Wrestle Kingdom match, help Countryman and Ospreay, sets up more matches with Will later, and more setup for match 7. We have an interview with Will Ospreay. It's already up for tier 2 subscribers, but we're going to have early notes on Select tomorrow. I like that idea. I mean, granted, this has been a 6-month verbal build for this specific match.
Yeah.
Kenny kind of started taking shots during our interview in June, Alex, and Ospreay certainly continued it this week in my interview with him. But what do you think about Pac possibly interfering?
I don't know. There's a lot of stuff that there's the idea of, you know, anybody can interfere to start something new. Perhaps, but we haven't seen, I guess the thing of it is that it seems like they're keeping House of Black busy with this whole looming Eddie Kingston and Ortiz thing. But House of Black putting their fingers on the scales and saying, we want to take the titles off of this team, not that team, this team. So we're going to ensure that they win might be interesting. There's a lot of stuff they could do.
Trying to find this super chat. Oh, there we go. Drew Nicholas says, Punk costing the Elite the 7th match in LA would be one of the wildest things ever if that were possible with Punk's injury and everyone turning the shoot into a work. Hear me out. It's been September, October, November, December. 4.5 months is, I think, enough to do a thing like that.
So,
personally,
here's the deal. Normally, I hate wrestler loses match because other wrestler not in match has music that gets played. But can you imagine if during the Elite versus Death Triangle, we hear the beginning of Cult of Personality? Like, that would cause the Jacksons and Kenny to completely lose their bearings and go, what the hell's going on? Now, it's not a pinfall type match, but that would allow Phoenix to jump onto the ladder from wherever he is and scale it up and take the thing. Like, if there was any time to have a music plays and everyone loses their minds, that's the music to play in this particular time.
Ricardo says, Ray is a video game character. Yeah, Ray Phoenix. And if you watch Lucha Underground, like, I know a lot of those people on that show were made to look good via editing and stuff. Mm-hmm. Not him.
Yeah.
Orion Ben says, AEW saw the Fightful Awards and went, bet. I had some people asking like about the Sheeta Hater match. We did our women's match of the year before that. It will be on next year's ballot. And we do have the results of those. I haven't planned a date yet, but Denise, Will, and I will be doing those. I was really happy with the parody there. I mean, we had indie awards as well, but like there were over a dozen winners from WWE and AEW. So that made me very happy that it wasn't like AEW or WWE straight down the line. So we'll keep you guys updated there. We have several of the winners who will be doing acceptance speeches on our show. We also will have physical awards that we'll send to those who want them. Miguel says Aussie Open versus the Elite on Revolution. Oh boy, you want to talk about a six-man or a trios match. One of the greatest tag teams in the world and Will Ospreay against, yeah. Oh boy, that would be incredible.
Yep.
Wag says, when they announced it being a seven-match series, thought too much. So wrong. Give me 14.
Yeah.
do a cage match, do yep. everything. Exploding barbed wire match. Do one of those again.
Do them all.
Chi-Town Spurs says, shout out to Nick for throwing chairs. That's a good touch. And Jane Beard says, instead of a Spanish announced team, we need Shaq Barkley and the other two doing commentary as well for match seven. I would love a pre-match thing with Shaq and Barkley. Mm. That mm-hmm. would be very cool if it like went to the studio and there's Shaq and Barkley. Yeah. When I talked to the Young Bucks, I did an interview with them. I pitched Charles Barkley just talking trash to Shaq on commentary while he had his match. And they're like, shit, that's good. I mean, Shaq and Barkley and Kenny are a big reason why a lot of people watch so games on TNT. Yeah. Full White says, is Dralistico signed with AEW since Dragon Lee is headed to WWE? Are they going to be dropping the tag titles soon? Yes, they will be dropping those titles soon, I would imagine, unless something's worked out. Because, hey, guess what? Karl Anderson signed with WWE in late August. Mm-hmm. And September, October, November, December, 4.5 right. months after he signed with them, he's still working Wrestle Kingdom. So,
yeah.
Terry says, is Dax working or burning it down on his way out? Ask me on any specific day and I might have a different answer, and so would he. It's tough to say, man. Like, I don't know if I know somebody that loves wrestling more than Dax, but also at times I don't know if I know someone who's as fed up with wrestling more than Dax. And the thing is, when you see him in the ring and you see how he is afterwards, you're like, he always is reminded, like, oh, yeah, that's why. That's why I do it. Yeah. Yes. Chris Jericho promo. Starks interview. They talk about Action Andretti getting a fireball to the face. Jericho said he made a big mistake in not joining Yas. I think that he made, in fact, a great decision not joining Yas. Because now he doesn't have to deal with the BCC for like a year.
That's nice too. Yeah, it's good.
Your thoughts on this?
He's like your little buddy, Action Andretti. I set him on fire because I'm a wizard. And then later we have Ricky starts going, my good friend, Action Andretti. Okay, wait a minute, hold on. Okay.
Oh,
I feel like we're retroactively making you guys great friends. But I think this is fine. The Starks versus Jericho thing, they'll have their first match next week. And then we'll see. We'll see how long this thing goes from there. So far, so good. I'm sure the first match will be great. They might really overbook the ending if they want to keep Jericho winning and get this feud started out for a very long feud. But we'll see. The stuff that's been leading up to has been very good.
Guys, leave a thumbs up on this video. We would greatly appreciate it if you did that. It helps the whole world find us. And that's very helpful. We're here every single night, except, this week because of scheduling stuff. But we're here every single weeknight for post shows. You guys will dig it. Check it out. Mm-hmm. Otto says, If Saraya's mystery partner ends up being Mickie James, would the AEW audience still consider it a disappointment? Yes.
Yes.
Yes, they would. No disrespect to Mickie.
The very last chance they have to announce that if the mystery partner is anyone other than Mercedes Vernado, other than Sasha Banks, their deadline to announce is next Wednesday. They must announce a week ahead of time to get everybody enough time to get over it so that by the following Wednesday, the LA show isn't that match isn't ruined by people having convinced themselves something was guaranteed when it was not. Yes. And that would be tough for everybody involved.
Anime Otaku says, I would love Ospreay to get roasted by Justin Roberts again as a bonus to that match. Yes. I mean, yeah. Justin Roberts is effectively Omega's personal ring announcer without actually being one. And the Pro Wrestling Podcast, who actually posted the Instagram picture that Punk replied to, said, what a show, eh? Well, I mean, hey, you're the talk of the town right now. That was
You
drew CM Punk out. Mm-hmm. That's pretty solid.
Yeah.
Oh boy. The Acclaimed called Jeff Jarrett a hoe and a carny. Oh my God. Them saying you're stealing money like it's Kurt Angle's wife. Bro.
This. Did they?
I said, God damn, kid, is he working or is he shooting?
He's shooting. So they always advertise ahead of time if the Acclaimed is going to do one of these things. And I don't remember them doing that for this. And this was one of the best ones because they shot hard on Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal, but mostly Jeff. Like they dropped Global Force Wrestling. They just kept calling him that he was a thief and a liar and a carny, and he straight up steals money like it's Kurt Angle's wife, he said on national television. God, Max Caster, I would like to report a murder.
I don't know for sure because I haven't spoken to Jeff Jarrett. I get along really well with him, but it's hard for me to believe that line was approved because I know of far tamer things that like Matt Hardy said and that for their WrestleCade build. Oh, and he said that he said that Jay Lethal was the top guy in the worst times for ROH. And he's like, you've been imitating people for 20 years, but nobody's imitating you. Damn, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lord Almighty.
Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah.
Wag says that this was so good. Yeah, it was. This is one of the best they've ever done.
Yeah.
Just unreal. I felt like I've said that about every segment so far. Unreal. Broadway Joe says, just saw a bunch of tweets talking about FTR or WWE bound after dropping the belts. And I think that's exactly what FTR want you to think.
That's true.
So for all the shit that you will hear about, I don't like dirt sheets. There's so many spoilers. Wrestlers are getting better than ever at working these things.
Yeah.
They're getting better than ever at doing it. Mm-hmm. And there are some that have perfected the art, and I'm not going to tell them what that is so they can't do it more. but there are some that are very good.
Yeah.
Joel says, so Sean, if Sasha isn't the mystery partner, who else could they possibly use that fans wouldn't crap all over? That is available right now. The one name that I can think of is AJ Lee. That's it. That is
now,
it. And
now are there other people that the fans would actually really enjoy if it wasn't like big mystery partner January 11th? If it was just like, hey, Saraya brought in somebody, Deonna Purrazzo or whatever. People would like that, but not if they're building up Sasha Banks in their mind. That's the problem. Is you got to actually announce that a couple of weeks ahead of time to make it work.
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah,
I wouldn't do that one. It's building it a month out. It's got to be Sasha. Chi-Town Spurs says, I don't know how they do it, but Max Caster MJF program would be brilliant. I think they could be a dynamite program down the line for sure. Yeah. Cause the promos would be very, very interesting just to do those like as a transitional type of thing.
Right.
Jambeard says, which rap was better, Double J diss track or the Darby Goth Boys one? Alex?
The Goth Boys one had a better hook. Like two grown men and they're going through a goth phase. Like, That was a really good hook. But for a diss track, like, this is surpasses. Like when, I'm sorry, when he said stealing money like it's Kurt Angle's wife, that's legendary, man. That is some legendary shit right there.
Tom says Mercedes might not be guaranteed, but Ibushi is. I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that. Jambeard says one match I'd love to see happen at Revolution would be a women's ladder face of the Revolution match. Me too. I think they should actually do something like the Wednesday before Double or Nothing. I think that's when the Casino Battle Royale should be for the men. Like, make it a big thing on Dynamite or Rampage, preferably Dynamite. But I mean, if you're going to do 3 nights of that, honestly, if that took up most of Rampage, I think that'd be kind of cool too. Cause I've always wanted WWE to do like the Raw Rumble in the middle of the year to just, you know, pop a rating.
Sure.
Justice says, okay, my brain isn't running. So if it was AJ, AEW X WOW connection, why do you do this, Sean? AEW don't give a damn about WOW. I'll just say that. No disrespect to WOW. They don't give a shit about WOW or anything. Mm-hmm. And it's just not on the radar for them at all. It's just not. Like, they ain't into like a talent exchange or anything. Tom LaValle says, did you see Kenny's shirt tonight? I saw the Ibushi shirt, but I mean,
yeah, sure.
I there's a lot I can't say, but I don't think Ibushi's going to wrestle anytime soon.
Yeah.
Miguel says Lethal and Jarrett got ethered. They did. You know, Alex.
Yeah.
I know we're jumping around a little bit, but what did you think of Samoa Joe cutting off Wardlow's hair?
I thought it was great.
I thought it was dangerous.
Oh, yeah?
I thought it was dangerous. He could have caused a nick, a cut.
Oh, yeah.
Something bad could have happened.
True.
He should have used our friends at manscaped.com. That's right. He should have reached down there and shaved Wardlow's pubes off. You want to talk about heat. But here's the thing. Wardlow probably would have been happy about that. Like, that's the thing. You're doing that. And you're upsetting Wardlow. But if you use manscaped.com and the code Fightful and you're like, hey, brother, here's that weed whacker ear and nose hair trimmer. Here's that lawnmower 4.0 with the LED light. And you know, it's waterproof and all this stuff. It can travel easy. Maybe he reached under that ring. He grabbed some crop reviver. Man, I'm all out of sorts now. I'm just thinking about what could have been, you know. He could have said, Wardlow, I got the Platinum Package 4.0. It's a luxury full body grooming kit. He could have said, here's the Boxers 2.0. Very soft boxer briefs. Maybe it's skin and hair care that he wanted. Well, he could say, Wardlow, ultra premium collection, the men's skin and hair care kit. They've got cologne. They've got all kinds of formulations, everything in the bathroom for you, not just down there. And right now, you get 20% off plus free shipping when you use the code Fightful. Yes. You're running out of matches all the time, right? Like, let's do a mask versus pubes match. Let's do it. Let's get that going. Let's get that going. Loser gets him shaved off with manscaped.com code FIFO. But here's the trick. You're never a loser when you use manscaped.com and the code FIFO. It's just incredible. 20% off plus free shipping. Manscaped.com. Code Fightful. Ty Mello, Anna Jay defeat Ruby Soho and Willow. Jesse says, I can dig a coexist story between Ruby and Willow. Well, Willow, as she is, she wants to make this work. She wants this to go. She's flattered to be in there with a veteran like Ruby Soho, who's been a little bit of everywhere. She's excited. She's happy. She's Willow. Ruby isn't. And as a result, you know, that costs her a match that quite frankly, probably meant a lot to her after the time that she spent out. Shot Kid says, well, I'd like more than one women's match on Dynamite to be a regular thing. Multiple high-profile storylines, longer matches, and what it appears to be a burgeoning tag division has me excited for the division in 2023. Yes, this had a story behind it. They referenced and promoted Dark on Monday because Willow and Ruby teamed up. But because they couldn't coexist, they really couldn't coexist. So the answer is no, they can't. And it cost them a match against a team that has coexisted literally since they met. I liked the story behind this. I liked the match behind this. This made all the sense in the world to me, Alex.
Yeah. And yeah, you're going to have a coexist storyline because let me tell you, nobody who is that into Punk can stand to be around that much positivity. Like it just, it is oil and water. They don't mix. I love the idea of perhaps Willow maybe bringing out that side of Ruby and, you know, seeing how that they, maybe there's a little bit of trade back and forth. Ruby can help with Willow's ring gear. Maybe it's a little bit more punk rock. There's stuff that you can do there. You can make that a really fun odd couple team for a while if you're going to do it for a bit. Listen, obviously the feud is continuing because you booked her to lose this match this way. So this is going to continue for a while. I don't need a Ruby Soho heel turn, which I feel like that is what that might lead to. I think Ruby winning out over, as they like to say, the mean girls is probably the best story here, but we'll see.
I think that Willow is just knocking it out of the park here. I think it's a fair way to reintroduce Ruby. I know a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, she hasn't accomplished what they thought she would or anything like that. I think she's doing great. Mm-hmm. I think she's killing it. And this makes sense to put her in this story because of the nature of how she got injured. And Anna and Ty, I think, are doing really good as well. Mm-hmm. I think that this made an awful lot of sense. I really, really dug this. And man, Willow is going to be a breakout star
in
2023. She is going to just explode.
I love this this prediction from Antonio Marrero. It'll be a Willow and Ruby versus Ty J street fight.
Oh, that, yes.
That street fight Ty J had last year with Bunny and Ford was amazing. I think them being the heels in a street fight a year later would be a really cool, like, full circle thing for them to do as well.
Yeah, I agree. Lexi Nair interviews the Guns. They're so excited from their win last week that they showed up just to leave. They didn't do anything. Why were they there, Alex?
I don't know. Here's what I do like. I wish they'd actually addressed the situation more this week, but I enjoy them actually being able to say, hey, we'll actually address the win next week. So at least there's not a hole in the story where it goes from 2 weeks ago, you did this thing. 2 weeks later, what happened in between? Well, in between, we showed up. We made a reservation for at a local night spot, and then we left.
Doc Chris Mueller of Bleacher Report had a great tweet. He said, how do Austin and Colton both look like their dad, but not at all look like they are actually brothers? Colton looks like a cartoon character.
He really does.
It's amazing.
He really does.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Full White says, any scoops on why Wrestle Kingdom and Dynamite are the same day? Yes. Japan basically closes down from the 1st to the 4th every year. It's like their Christmas holiday. And Wrestle Kingdom is always on January 4th. AEW Dynamite is always on Wednesday whenever they can help it. And they ain't moving for anybody else's show.
Nope.
So they're sending one talent or a couple talent over there. Mm-hmm. Yep. And they're still going to have a pretty loaded show in Seattle with Danielson and Swerve and a lot of those guys, like Darby, a lot of people that are at least from that general area. So,
yeah,
it's just that's just the way it is. And next year, are they going to be on Thursday next year? Because that would also be a bit of a conflict with Wrestle Kingdom like a few hours later. It'll either be on Tuesday or Thursday next year.
Yeah.
I can't remember which way it goes, but. Mr. Showtime, which was my WWF Attitude Creator wrestler name, says, can they just let Ruby win for Christ's sake? Mr. Showtime, I know you're holding on to that WWF Attitude Creator wrestler too. My guy had sunglasses, a blonde ponytail, a socko, the Jeff Jarrett shirt on. He looked horrible. I thought he looked so cool too. Why can't they let Ruby win, for Christ's sake? They should, but I think for this story, it made sense.
Yeah.
Made sense. Also, I watched that This Is Awesome episode on the wrestling video games. And I was, first off, I had a little bit of a scoop on Fightful Select today. They filmed that, like the interviews, like last month. They got that done really quick. Mm. But I thought that was a really good show. Like they talked about Slam Masters, Fire Pro. They did a lot of like non-WWE, non-WCW stuff. And that was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Backstage, Joe ends up attacking Wardlow. Now, we had a note on Fightful Select today. Somebody had said that there was like confetti falling, all that stuff. Well, I had been told Wardlow's in line to get that title back sooner than later. I've been told that sooner than later isn't necessarily tonight, although it has been discussed, but it might be closer to Revolution. And that could change because the person who was supposed to win it hasn't won it, and that was adjusted too. So even between now and then, that could change. But I think the trajectory tonight is kind of like evident. But for what we saw in that first hour, the first 75 minutes, I thought they did a really, really great job. Mm-hmm. They built up Wardlow, and they had him overcome something, and the crowd was on their feet for it, Alex.
Yeah.
The crowd was hot for it. Just really, really into Wardlow. This felt like an old school crowd that was there for the ride. The kind of crowds that AEW had their first year or two before, or right before that pandemic. They wanted to be a part of everything. And this was that. Was there any doubt in your mind that Wardlow was coming out, or did you think that they might?
I was like, if there's a last minute replacement, like it's got to be a major deal. Now it looks like the crowd would have been happy if it was just Darby. But I would think it would have been something big, but I was only maybe 20% of me thought they were going to do something else. But Wardlow coming out, shoving security guys down as he limps to the ring. It's what you needed to do. Because I think that there, to me anyway, it feels like there's a perception of a loss of momentum for Wardlow over the past couple of months, and this did a lot to rebuild it. And also, it every time I look off into the distance and I see, hey, there's a pay-per-view in about 2.5 months. I wonder how they're gonna lead this thing to like go to the like. How are they going to draw this out so that we get this, the big feud ender, the big blow off match at the pay-per-view? And they found a way to do it with this too. I think we're definitely getting Wardlow versus Samoa Joe at Revolution, with Wardlow going over there as revenge for all of this. But I thought the match was really handled very well. The story of, by the way, Samoa Joe, one of his favorite things, the favorite things he does is, he did this with Shinsuke Nakamura in NXT, where he took him out and standing over his broken body screams at him, "I did this to you! I did this to you!" Which was so great when he did it to Nakamura, and even better with Wardlow, because Wardlow absolutely knows. He was there. He saw you hit him with a baseball bat. He knows you did it to him, but you have to make sure he's aware of that fact. I thought this was excellent. They protected Wardlow with the injury. The match was laid out really, really well. Both guys looked amazing. And the finish was excellent. And I actually really like what they're doing going forward.
Love the finish. Love the match, too. Wardlow selling, being able to hit the Wardlow in the wind or whatever the hell it is that they call it. But the powerbomb and then trying to go for the second one. And then his leg giving out was really, really good. Yeah. Mr. Showtime does confirm that is his CAW name. He had more of an HBK style. I'm shocked to learn that.
Yeah.
But Reese Power says, Joe's got his groove back. He's been such a great bastard heel. He's been out doing MJF in that department lately. Merry Christmas to all of Fightful. You think he's been out doing MJF lately? I think he's come into his own again.
Yeah, man. It just feels like old. It feels like NXT Joe again. Like it really does. I'm ready for him to like have one of those promos where he just eviscerates six people in the span of 45 seconds. Yes. Those are always fun. But yeah, him taking him out, wrestling a really even back and forth match, knowing the whole time this dude's doing it with one wheel. But by the way, the whisper in the war is what I'm calling it. I don't know what they call it, but that thing is amazing. Seeing a dude that size do that move is crazy. But I love the finish with him choking him out, him not giving up, but him being choked out. And I also love the psychology, because the truth of it, of the guy waking up from being choked out and not realizing where he is. Like, he grabs onto Paul Turner's leg because he thinks it's Joe. He doesn't remember losing. All that stuff about it is really great. And that moment of Joe standing there holding both belts, looking like maybe he regrets the means with which he had to attain this victory. And no, just kidding. I'm going to hit you with this belt. And then cutting off the ponytail is great because A, gives a reason for the little makeover. We don't know what he's going to look like the next time we see Wardlow. And it provides extra motivation for Wardlow down the line to get a victory and get his title back. And we get to see now what they're going to keep Joe busy doing while Wardlow recovers from this attack. He's because Darby shows up, hits Joe with a skateboard. So we're going to have Darby versus Joe
we'll
for a bit.
That. It's good stuff. We'll get to that. Justin Robbins says, Swanton Bomb whisper in the wind. At what point do we start billing Wardlow from Cameron, North Carolina? He's going to come out and do the Jeff thing. Yeah, oh, man.
Yeah. Wardy. Not Hardy. Wardy.
Justice says, who would be your guys pick to dethrone Joe? Pulling for Hobbs still. Appreciate y'all. I think it should be Hobbs. I think it's going to be Wardlow. Yeah, that was reiterated to me today.
The story that they set up tonight, if you do this to Wardlow and Wardlow doesn't eventually get the title back, that doesn't make him look good. Like, he's got to get revenge.
Jambeard says, I call it the Wardlow in the wind or the war wind. And Caden or Miguel says, besides Wardlow barely selling the knee at the beginning of the main event, show was really good. Top five Dynamite show of 2022. Yeah, I would say top five. Yeah. This is one of the better episodes I've ever seen. There have been some really great episodes.
Yeah.
But I'd say definitely a top five.
Yeah.
Jordan says, I dig Wardlow and Joe, but with Darby back, what happened to Hobbs being a part of it? Love the Book of Hobbs stuff, but it seems like he's gotten lost a bit. I agree. In fact, I had been told that Hobbs, a part of the big push that was reported, was probably a TNT title shot. And I was actually told recently that was kind of just off the plans and Wardlow would be getting it back. Don't know, but I don't know what that means for Hobbs, but they need to have something good for him at Revolution in San Francisco.
Right.
Well, Caden says Maggie is going to be pissed. She is. Maggie of coexisting with Rob and Maggie. Mm. Oh, she's not going to be happy about the haircut. Wardlow gets his hair cut. Brutal. Jambeard says Wardlow might not have liked that, Sean, but Cher and Maggie would have preferred that spot instead. Nope. I don't think they're going to be happy about it either. No. But Darby comes back. It's good to see him in a prominent role. You want to talk about a guy who felt like he had kind of lost his way for a while. When Sting went down with the injury, we didn't know that Sting had to get his knee cleaned out until he said it. But it very clearly derailed Darby Allin. And he's back in the fold. And he's back in the fold, and I buy it immediately. I don't think you have to have people always near the top. However, also don't want to see guys like Miro not wrestling all year long. So you got to find that healthy balance, and I think they found that healthy balance with Darby.
Yeah. Well, Darby had that title shot versus Samoa Joe, and Samoa Joe just literally murked him. Like, it was just done. And Darby wants revenge for that, which makes sense. Him coming back and hitting Joe with a skateboard. This is something to keep Joe occupied while they build the angle of Wardlow recovering from his injury. Because they said this on commentary, which I liked. Regardless of whether or not Wardlow wins this title back tonight, he's probably going to have to take some time off to actually rehab this legitimate knee injury that they're saying that he has. Whatever it is, like, they're telling him he's not cleared, but he's going to wrestle anyway. Who knows how bad the knee might like further aggravate the injury in this match. So they have a reason to keep Wardlow off TV while Joe does this thing with Darby. And then Wardlow comes back, let's say, I don't know, second week of February, and attacks Joe, and they book the match for Revolution.
Last call for Super Chats and Humper Chats. Jane Beard says, I was saying Maggie and Cher would have liked your Manscaped spot instead. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, probably. That's my bad. But hey, you sent us another Super Chat, and I greatly appreciate that for clarifying such a thing.
It's nice.
Joel, what's the percentage wood? Says, Darby's such a good guy. He knew Wardlow needed a haircut, so he waited until after Joe did it before he made the save.
It's true.
And to the die, says, faithful viewer since my introduction to you on Quizzlemania. Thanks, Fightful. I'm a sneaker fan and find wrestling footwear interesting. Shooter shoes, I think, versus boots. Any thoughts to add? Shocks me that Ricochet does his thing in full boots. Okay, so I can speak from personal experience. I prefer to wear amateur wrestling shoes. For me, boots, especially laced all the way up, did not give me a significant range of motion. Mm-hmm. And sneakers oftentimes had way too much on the bottom of them. They were very bottom heavy by and large. Mm-hmm. And the ones like high tops, probably a little bit best, but you can roll your... You can roll your ankle in the low tops without the support a lot easier, but because of how high sneakers are, the support on them varies heavily. So whenever you land, you might twist. I'm 6 feet tall. I never needed the extra height per se, but I do understand that some even taller wrestlers will wear those because one, they don't have to jump. Two, they want even more height. If you're 6'5", you want to be 6'6", 6'7".
Yeah. Yeah,
bill yourself as 6'9", for the love of God.
That's right.
So I've noticed that a lot of the people like kind of in the middle will wear more flat shoes. I like amateur wrestling shoes just a lot better. And mine were always like really, really tight. So they had a lot of good support anyway, but that's where I stand on that. And they have stuff on the bottom of them that helps you grip a lot better because they're supposed to grip mats and stuff like that. Full White says, what have you been hearing about the Ibushi and Sasha Banks teases to join AEW? Any update on CM Punk? The only update on CM Punk is, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's it.
But Sasha, I mean, she's going to New Japan. That's happening. I would be shocked if she wasn't involved in AEW to some capacity. I think it's her on January 11th. If it's not, they got to say it. Ibushi, if he wrestles soon... Boy, that's an amazing sign because I was given the impression that he might not be wrestling anytime soon. But Alex, you will not be wrestling soon, but you'll be talking about wrestling soon. Mm-hmm. You do it twice a week on FightfulSelect.com. Yep. I'll be on the Fightful Post Show Friday because John Cena is wrestling. Yeah.
You got to show up for the big nights.
I got to show up for Cena. I'll be on Common Bingles W. Hey, I'm 9 subscribers away from 100 on YouTube. So look it up. But Alex, tell the people what you got.
You can find me on Fightful Select reviewing Raw right after Raw with Kate. And then on Fridays, I'll be doing a watch along of Rampage while talking about SmackDown. That's from 10 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Those are always a lot of fun. You can follow me on the Twitter at Alex Sourgraps and Alex Sourgraps on YouTube. In about 15 minutes, I'm going to be streaming some Red Dead Redemption 2 over there. So that's been a lot of fun. People seem to enjoy that. So come over and check that out.
Guys, personal favor, you can check us out on podcast platforms everywhere. If you don't mind, head over to the Spotify's of the world, the Apple podcasts of the world, Amazon's, all that good stuff. Most of our views are here on YouTube, so we don't get necessarily the chart love. Like we're like in the 20s, 30s on those, but it doesn't account YouTube views or anything like that. So if you don't mind, leave us some nice reviews over there. Sometimes we got trolls that go over there and leave us shitty reviews. So if you all don't mind, that's a nice free way to support us, but you can also leave a thumbs up and subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. I can't force that down your throat any more than I possibly already have. We're going to have some cool stories for you on Fightful Select. Pro Wrestling Podcast says I love wrestling. And all I can say to that is, duh, we're out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.